finally, Brian, you get that movie about furries you've been waiting for.
No, no, no. This is a movie about how a plucky young upstart rose through the ranks and became the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, wait, is it?
It's Fury, right? It's about Nick Fury?
Well, that would explain why there were no people wearing fuzzy animal costumes.
Also, so many people missing one eye.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Some missing both, even.
Some people missing entire heads.
I didn't actually see any, you know, people with superpowers, just some pretty super dudes.
Yeah. Well, this is about Brad Pitt putting a team together to go on a very specific mission. Not really Ocean's 11.
Killing like Nazis.
Yeah, more like
so
Ocean...
Inglourious Bastards.
No, no, it's more like Ocean's II.
Ocean's II?
Yeah, as in
I believe
WW.
World War II.
Oh, I get what you're saying there.
There it is.
See, I was trying to... I was like, I'm pretty sure it's V for five.
Yeah, we are talking about the new movie Fury by director David Ayers.
Ayer.
Who is one of those directors, I always forget about him. And yet when I look at the movies he's done, I was like, man, this guy is great.
Yeah, it's crazy. The movies that he has written and those that he's directed, like there's a lot of winning in there. And it's funny because the one thing that kind of unites every movie that David Ayer has been associated with.
Cops.
Well, no, it's the concept. It's the concept of ride-alongs. Right. Like almost every movie he's done, there has been a character riding along with another character. Well, or
it's the best way to develop a hardened scenario without feeling like it's just direct exposition by dialogue. Is to throw, like you said, a plucky young upstart into a serious situation where they have to learn by the skin of their teeth, or they're not going to make it.
And, or you would say the audience avatar.
Yeah, there you go. It's just mad trial by fire.
And in End of Watch, he made the audience the actual plucky young upstart with the found footage element, where it's like we're the ones riding along with these two established cops. And in this movie, it's a tank that the character is riding along.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's Logan Lehman as Norman, the noob.
The guy who has he's literally a clerk. He's a military clerk.
Typist.
A typist who's been dropped into this tank crew with Brad Pitt, Shia LaBeouf, Michael Pena, who is a frequent David Ayer collaborator.
Sure.
Yeah. And
John Bernthal. Like Shane.
That's what I thought.
Dead.
That's what I thought that was. Yeah.
I'm so glad to see that guy's been appearing in a lot of movies because he really is a great actor. Yeah. Even though I hope he sooner or later gets out of the role of like crazy redneck guy.
That would be nice.
Right. Casting him as.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a problem with Shia LaBeouf.
I think that Shia LaBeouf was shoved down our throats when no one knew or cared who he was. Like, hey, it's this new guy, and we're going to award him the roles such as the son of Indiana Jones.
Agreed.
And everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy? He wasn't that talented. He was cocky, young upstart. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, see, Hollywood decided he was the next big thing without asking me, because if they had, I would have said, no. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, is like, as much as he's kind of lost it lately, the last couple films I've seen him in, he's actually been pretty good in.
He's kind of kicking ass. I feel like in Fury, he's doing something that really... I mean, I feel like there are moments in Fury where I kind of just want Brad Pitt to shut the fuck up because Shia LaBeouf is talking.
Wow.
It's weird. There were a few moments where I did kind of want Shia LaBeouf to be doing more than he was.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you. I think when he first kind of burst onto the scene in Holes, I thought I saw talent there. And it was kind of like Hollywood didn't ask any of us if he was going to be the next.
We didn't get a vote.
Yeah. I believe I should have been consulted.
But I feel like there's talent there. I think David Ayer has proven
Ayer.
Yeah, I think David Ayer has proven he's capable of getting good performances out of people with talent. I think Shia LaBeouf got it. He just needs a director to do it.
Just think of it like this, JC. Like, all of his movies are your jam and make you want to put your hands in the air.
Wow.
Every time I see one of those movies, I think of that. Sorry.
The idea here is this is set during the last month of the European theater of war in World War II in April 1945, as the Allies are making they're finally in Berlin, or we're moving towards Berlin. They're like, you know what, the war's almost over, but as Brad Pitt says, there's still a lot of killing to do. And one of their
and he wants his scalp.
Their side gunner has died, and this group, tight knit group, has been together for a while on this one tank. I mean, hell, we see at the beginning of the movie they are the last survivors of an entire platoon of tanks, and this is not apparently the first time this has happened either. They're just really good at what they do, but they've lost one, and they force this young kid on them who it is. I was like, they had conscientious objectors back then, kid. I'm just saying. I mean, it's too late now. now, but you fucked up.
He's Upham, you know, in Saving Private Ryan. Let me rephrase. He's that character in almost every war movie you've ever seen, ever.
There you go.
Is the guy who is basically like, I'm not used to this. I don't want to kill anybody.
I wasn't supposed to come to work today.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
He's Dante Clerks in a tank.
And if I were thrust into this situation.
And as the opening titles remind us, it's still very dangerous because the German tanks are much better ass than the American tanks are.
Sure.
They're better armored. They've got better weapons. They move faster. They're just better. So it's hunting around somewhere out there is the great white shark German tanks, mm-hmm. among just the normal little tiger shark ones.
They're going to need a bigger boat
and
a lot more ammo.
Sent out on another mission after another mission after another mission, delving deep into this territory and dealing with, you know, German refugees and with each other's weird personalities and eventually just total fucking war. And I gotta say, I really thought this is one of the best sort of brothers in arms films I've seen since, and to use the term films loosely, the Band of Brothers miniseries on HBO. I mean, it has that sense of like, just like a lot of war movies do a thing. It's like, oh, we're all having fun until we get to the scene where we say, oh shit, I'm reminded that war is terrible. And this scene is like every scene has a shot to remind you that, boy, war sucks and is dirty and awful and murderous and horrible.
Yeah, it's one of the things about war movies is that I get tired of being beaten over the head with, man, war's bad, but now we're going to continue with the film.
Right.
And I feel like Fury does a good job of not beating you over the head with it.
Because it's ever present.
Exactly. It's just there. And to contrast it with Band of Brothers, it's a much more difficult feat to do that in an hour and 45 minutes.
Very true.
Than it is an HBO miniseries, which we've seen with TV now. You can develop a character over a season, 8 seasons, whatever, and eventually people are on board.
It's kind of that in here, using the noob character. What's his name again? Norman.
Norman.
Of showing how like a normal person can
a normal man. Shorten it. Portmanteau. Norman.
Wow. That was very Brian of you.
No. That's screenwriting 101. That's why the character's name is Norman.
Okay.
I guarantee you.
But like showing how a Norman man can become like the other guy, so hardened and cold and numb and angry by all these horrors around him. It just becomes ordinary. That's what life is. And there's a lot of interesting dialogue along the way, I thought, sort of, especially from Brad Pitt's character of sort of just going, well, kid, that's how it is. War sucks. What are you going to do? Kill some Nazis.
Just kill Nazis.
The winner goes Nazis. Home and fucks the prom queen.
Yeah. No, I definitely, you know, it's funny. This movie walks a very strange line where at moments it is almost pure blockbuster war exploitation. And then in other moments, because there are moments where if you aren't cheering and rooting like you would in an exploitation film, the scenes don't work at all. And then there's these moments that are like deeply upsetting, introspective character probing moments that are different from those. I mean, like every war film of this ilk has that moment where there's a break in the fighting and they're sitting down and they're basically like revealing things about themselves and dealing with their own shit. And I mean, you see that movie, but in this movie, like the more we learn about these guys, the less we like them, which is interesting.
Right.
So it's like we want to know just enough about them. It's their duty as soldiers and their dedication as soldiers is literally the best thing about them.
Right.
Everything on a personal level, they are horrid human beings, which was really interesting to me because that's not something you see in a lot of movies like this.
That wasn't something I necessarily expected either, because I think when you watch the trailer, you kind of have a general sense of what you're going to get. You're going to get about an hour and a half of them putzing around in this tank before the big grand finale, and it was a lot more than that, and I was just kind of a pleasant surprise, especially from earlier this year. David Ayer did End of Watch, the one with Schwarzenegger.
Sabotage. His biggest misstep.
Yeah,
telling all y'all that was Sabotage.
Yeah, and so
somebody sabotaged that movie.
Yeah, and so I was curious to see how he was going to bounce back from that with this, and I'm surprised to see that he did.
It's funny. I can't totally go with you though, Brian, on the whole. You find out they're all assholes. You find out they're all totally broken. I'll give you that. Like every last one of them presents themselves as one thing and really is something else inside. I mean, hell, I think you start off not liking Brad Pitt and you do start to respect him, and the other guys I felt less so.
Well, you respect him because, again, of his merits as a soldier. Like, and again, it boils down to literally the less personal we get with them, the better the movie works, because we really, like, when we respect them and like them the most is when they are soldiers.
Right.
Not that when they are human beings.
Well, I think what's the best job I ever had, I think that's completely in line with what you're saying, Brian, is these guys are basically walking into a hotel asking for the clerk job with a tattoo on their face. Mm-hmm. They're going, they don't fit in any other place other right. than in this fucking tank shooting fucking Nazis.
Yeah. And I think that's the juxtaposition with Norman's character.
Right. Is he, and that's, there's the scene where, oh man, they all have goofy nicknames. What's John Bernthal's goofy nickname?
Kunass.
Of course it is. Why not?
Where Norman and Kunass have that weird aside that it's kind of erotic, and he says, you know, the reason I get so upset with you is because you're intrinsically a good person and we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously that's why it makes sense that you know, things go the way they go.
And even that sense of, like, him watching him, like, starting to turn into them.
Exactly.
Is pissing him off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, watching this guy who still has humanity losing that humanity in the theater of war. Even so, like, I mean, I think the importance of both Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf's characters to sort of, like, while you say, and I agree, that ultimately they're not very good men, they're good soldiers, they're also very good at understanding how to get to that place you need to go in a philosophical sort of way. I mean, they both express sort of like, they're both still have enough humanity to try and help this young kid who's like, look, you can't do nothing.
You know? Right.
We have to help you to go this way or you're going to die and we're going to die. They know how to do that in the right way, in a smart way. And that gets across as you watch this relationship go, both to the kid who learns to respect them through that level. I don't know. I thought there was, like, more depth to them than just saying, oh, they're terrible people.
I mean, I don't think it's mutually exclusive to say they're terrible people and therefore there's no depth
right,
to them. There's
right.
a lot of depth
no,
to
you're
them.
You're right. You're right.
But it's just the more depth you plumb, the blacker your soul gets
a lot
is
of
the
depth
thing.
Around them
there
too.
You go. Plumbing the depths.
They are a killing machine in a killing machine. Which, by the way, that's where the title comes from. The tank is nicknamed Fury.
Oh, see it? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I got it's all over the damn can. Of the gun, yeah,
you know, even the Germans can read that.
Yeah.
Oh shit, that tank's named Fury. We better leave.
Yeah, and the other ones are like Mabel. Like the other tanks have like really shit. And then there's one other tank,
Sunflower,
that's called Murder Inc. And I'm
Murder
like,
Inc.
Why don't you all have names like that? Where right. there's like Fury, Murder Inc., Susan,
the
why
Fun
is that
Tank,
one Susan.
Are you the only one who wondered? Because you don't really see a lot of the other crews or know specifically who is who. I was like, I wonder if Murder Inc. is a bunch of Italians. Oh, that's a horrible thing to think. What's wrong with me?
a lot of things okay. is wrong with you.
I'm sorry. But yeah, strong performances across the board.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
I have to notice John Bernthal, who has one of the more difficult roles in this movie, playing the kind of extreme, dumb, rednecky guy.
One of the most difficult to understand, if nothing else.
I really like the range of his performance. I like the way he comes around. As you talked about earlier, Michael, the scene where he actually has a conversation with Logan, like, yeah, you know, sorry, but
yeah.
I just didn't want to see you become me.
Yeah, exactly.
I really think that he is going a long way and fast as a theatrical actor, which I would not have expected.
No, I just mean his dialogue was tough to
understand. One season on a TV show to major Oscar bait.
Or at least Sergeant Oscar bait.
Sergeant Oscar bait. He wasn't a sarger, okay?
He wasn't a sarger, you're right.
I'm so tired. Only Brad Pitt was a sergeant.
Yes,
you don't
that is
call
correct.
Him sir.
No, you don't.
No, because,
you don't.
You yeah. call him War Daddy, apparently.
Yeah.
War Daddy was his name.
I thought, you know, honestly, I thought it was really great that they created a lot of tension within a small space, literally a small metal space. You know, they found a kind of Spartan-esque third act for this crew, which I thought was really cool. And then I guess the only thing that didn't work for me is that there are moments within, like, the movie kind of stops dead about halfway through the second act and does some really interesting character stuff. But the character stuff for me was at times a little bit uneven, just like some of the shot choices and some of the dialogue. It just, like, it seemed like it ebbed and flowed a little too much. Like, there wasn't a real consistent flow to that scene. And it's also like 2 hours and 15 minutes long, which I feel is a little like, and it may be because of this scene, which I felt was a little bit overinflated. But other than that, yeah, I really enjoyed the movie.
I know what you mean. I can't totally disagree with you. I think I enjoyed it, if nothing else, because like the movie is so intense during the war sequences, which is the majority of the film, mm-hmm. that like, I mean, the end of it, the whole last 30 minutes feels like you're in a horror movie. It's so
That's
intense.
True.
it needs this room to breathe. It needs a time to be reminded of what normal life is like, a little glimpse of it, only to have it just blow away in the wind. You know?
No, I mean, it definitely needed to be there. I guess I just thought that there were moments within that moment that were just like a little clunky.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, because in that scene, I was in the middle of it. I was like, why is this scene here? But then it did seem kind of important, because it's in that moment, it seemed like Brad Pitt's character needed to spend some time with Norman, like just the two of them away from the other crazy people so that he could, so that maybe a little bit of Norman could rub off on him too. Like, yeah, that's why I felt that scene was
important. Are you suggesting they were going to have gay sex? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like that scene is also important. Again, I know I'm just driving this home with you, but again, to go back to support what you were saying about how these people are not likable, you get the two probably most human characters walk into a human scenario, but when all five are in what would be an outside world setting, it just, I mean, it looks wrong. Yeah. It feels wrong. They don't fit. They're a mess. And they just get out. It doesn't, they don't work in the normal everyday world setting anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, even as the movie goes on, how are these guys going to ever live a normal life again after this war is over? I mean, how could they possibly adjust back into the world after this?
Yeah.
Going back to what I said in the beginning, this is one of the more grisly war films I've seen, in terms of just like it constantly reminding you there's just bodies all over the place. I mean, the tank is casually running over bodies that clearly 100 tanks before have run over.
Yeah, human roadkill.
it's just pretty horrific. There's not a lot of light in this movie. There is a few laughs.
Well, and it's funny too, because I was listening to the audience, and the audience was laughing at things that weren't necessarily that funny, but it was like literally when you the valve, when there's so much tension, so much pressure, and you just release the valve a little bit, how much pressure comes out.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what was happening. Like people were so elated to have a moment of levity, even in the slightest, that they were just like, oh God, he said he was drunk. It was like, yeah, but I don't know why it's that. And then I was like, oh, it's because you were tense as all hell up to that point.
I think that's kind of typical of David Ayer. Like, a lot of his stuff has those moments of levity throughout.
Training Day is a good example of a film that just keeps that high level of tension.
Yeah, you'll find yourself laughing
a little bit.
You're laughing at Denzel lines that are, and you're like, that's not funny. That's just horrible. Why did I laugh at that? Oh, because nothing else in this movie's allowed me to laugh.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's go to final thoughts and start with Michael.
I don't typically like war movies. War movies just in general rub me the wrong way. Probably almost all the time. Fury is an exception. I felt like they did a good job of giving me something that I was watching it for without losing sight of the fact that it was World War II, which is one of the worst things that's just ever happened ever. And they didn't let go of that. They put a story in a terrible world and told a compelling story. I liked the characters. I thought the performances were good. I mean. The scenes that were, you mentioned, you know, like as tense as a horror movie, just over the top action scenes managed to fit in a really bleak universe, which without seeming like too much fun. And I felt like the movie was really well rounded. So I don't know. How about 8 out of 10 a human roadkill?
JC?
I'm kind of with Michael. War movies aren't necessarily the thing I seek out the most, and whenever I find one that does kind of, that I do kind of enjoy it, it's almost always like a pleasant surprise, because I wasn't necessarily expecting it. I especially don't like think of those movies as ones that I would typically go back and revisit. But, I mean, you know, Brad Pitt's one of my favorite actors, and he was really great in this. Michael Peña was great in this. I mean, everybody all around did a pretty good job, and I'm still kind of one of those people. I appreciate when Shia LaBeouf does turn in a good performance, even though it doesn't always happen. I just kind of thought this was a nice, pleasant surprise. I wasn't expecting too much out of it based on the trailer. I thought it was going to be a lot more simple than it was. I wasn't expecting as much character depth as there is. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 spent tank shells.
Brian?
One of the things we haven't mentioned, and I think is really important to note, is that on top of the great performances and on top of the tense action sequences during the battles, There is first of all, a great soundtrack here that is at times very orchestral and then also very electronic. Like, there are points in the movie where it blends, like a very grand orchestral soundtrack, a score, with something that you might see in like a Nicholas Winding Refn film. It's a very eclectic mix of sounds that they have going on that never gets in the way. But if you really just kind of stop for a second and listen to it, it's pretty fantastic.
Stephen Price, who did Attack the Block and The World's End soundtrack.
I'm not surprised at all.
And Gravity.
There you go. There you go. And the other thing is the cinematography in this movie is really phenomenal. There is a shot where they're in the tank and they're going across the field and they look up and they see this air battle. And it's just streaks of planes across the sky, and then this smaller streak coming towards it, and you know a dogfight's about to happen. And I've never seen an aerial battle filmed sort of from a spectator perspective. And that's exactly what this was, and it was beautiful.
And this is a Russian cinematographer, Roman Vasyanov, who worked on End of Watch with the air before.
Which was a challenge in and of itself, because you have the found footage thing as well as actual, yeah. So I just think it looks and sounds tremendous, and it's a great story. There's a few like maybe bumps in the road, but overall I think it's a great war movie that really does. It tackles a lot of character issues that aren't necessarily routine, even within trappings that seem like they are. So overall, I'm gonna give this 8 out of 10 Kelly's Heroes.
I gotta rewatch Kelly's Heroes.
Right, such a good right.
Movie. Well, see, I echo what you guys are saying, except that I love a good war movie. I have a lot in my collection. I even have rewatched John Wayne's The Green Berets, which is not a particularly great war movie. And I think this is the very model of a terrific war movie. I think a lot is borrowed here from this Middle Eastern film called Lebanon that came out several years ago, which was also sort of a Band of Brothers type thing in a tank, one tank out there, kind of in the middle of nowhere going, what do we do now? What can we do? Just keep going forward. If you haven't seen that, you really should. But yeah, I thought this was tremendous. At its worst, it needed to shave maybe 5 minutes from its running time, I thought, because I was tense all the way through this. In the end, I was on the edge of my seat. I love this. Even fucking Percy Jackson turned in a good performance as Norman.
That's worse.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Percy.
I would like Percy to retract Jackson. My rate. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give this 10 out of 10.
Whoa.
Best war movies ever. Wow. I really love this. I mean, if I got to say anything, this movie, it's tanks for the memories.
You know what? I was going to make that joke, and then I thought tanks, but no tanks.
Anyone else? Anyone? Anyone?
No, I think we'd just be retreading at this point.
These guys are shells of their former selves.
They're shell-shocked.
Nothing, Michael? Nothing.
Oh, no. Sorry.
He's like, never, ever, ever will I do
that. I'm going to save up till I have a really good one. I'm not just going to blow it.
And when that day comes, we'll have the Pee-wee's Playhouse
thing with all
the balloons and streamers.
That's kind of my thing. I'm really bad at making puns, but eventually one day.
One day, awesome. JC will just, and we'll just, we'll die. We'll literally die.